Bushun and Dinaway Magani Dug. Beisha go benesia que indigo, mang and do dame. Ga os the squadjime cog and dunjaba, ga mesqua wako cog ninda. Elaine Fleming, Nindishina Kaz. Welcome, welcome to History of Leech Lake, Minawa again. I said, hello, my relatives. My name is One Thunderbird Woman. That's my Ojibwe and my spirit name. And that's what the universe knows me as, One Thunderbird Woman. I am a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. And I live in Cass Lake, Minnesota. It was called Ga Miskwa Wako Kag. And that was the place where red cedars are plentiful. Then they're no longer plentiful here because of the logging industry. And that logging industry had a great deal to do with our history, the history of Leech Lake. And that's what this show is about, the history of Leech Lake Nation. And so, welcome. I enjoy reading old newspapers. One time, I was able to spend several days at the Minnesota Historical Society in St. Paul. I was looking for articles that were about Leech Lake Ojibwe and the effects that blood quantum had on the loss of our resources and land. The first issue of the Cass Lake Times was printed in 1899, and I spent quite a bit of time looking at those issues of the Cass Lake Times printed in 1899. 10 years before that, in 1889, the Cass Lake, Winnebagoches, and Leech Lake Ojibwe had agreed to the Nelson Act, which enacted the 1887 Dawes Allotment Act. Other things that happened before the first newspaper printed by the Cass Lake Times in 1899 was the building of the dams on the Mississippi River, the big river, the Mississippi River. These dams had flooded about 46,000 acres of our Ojibwe lands, rice beds, cranberry bogs, our villages, our graveyards. They had flooded 46,000 acres of our land. And before 1899, when the Cass Lake paper first opened up, there had been the Battle of Sugar Point. That was 1 year before the paper opened up, and that battle was in 1898. By 1899, settlers had built their home along the Great Northern Railroad in Cass Lake. In one article, it said the settlers had illegally squatted on the land of the Cass Lake Ojibwe. The settlers were hoping that the land would open up for sale because of that 1887 Dawes Allotment Act. Because after the Ojibwe people had been counted and land had been put aside for their allotments, the rest of the land was opened up for settlement. That's what the thoughts had been. So, in the July 13, 1899 issue of the Cass Lake Times, on the top front page, a cartoon graphically explained the truth of the settlers of Cass Lake, how they saw their relationship with the federal government to move them off of Cass Lake Ojibwe land, and also the Cass Lake settlers' relationship with the Cass Lake Ojibwe. The illustration was captioned, quote, "Secretary Hitchcock will Russianize Cass Lake because Indians demand it," end quote. In this large illustration on the front top of the page of the Cass Lake Times, you see Secretary of Indian Affairs Hitchcock riding a horse and waving a whip at the town of Cass Lake. Hitchcock, also an immigrant like all the Cass Lake settlers, was of Russian descent. On his coat, we see printed in large block letters, "Russian ideas." How un-American, huh? And what were the Secretary of Indian Affairs Hitchcock's Russian ideas? Well, to remove the settlers who were illegally living on Cass Lake Ojibwe land. As a caption under the illustration states, to Russianize Cass Lake because Indians wanted it. So you're wondering, I think, how is Cass Lake portrayed? Well, Cass Lake is represented as a young white woman with her long hair flowing in the wind and a worried look on her face. She is running, and a small sign is placed by her running feet. It claims she is running to destruction. Yes, that's what the little sign says about Cass Lake. In the young woman's arms, Cass Lake carries rolls of papers. One roll is labeled as Enterprise. The other roll is labeled as Thrift. And in the background, behind the fair Miss Cass Lake and the Russian Secretary of Indian Affairs, are two Cass Lake Ojibwe men. They are smiling as they watch the action, and they're shaking each other's hands. One of them is patting the other on the shoulder. They are both fat and bearded and wear suits and black brimmed hats. You know, like those Billy Jack hats. Two eagle feathers sit on each hat. One Cass Lake Ojibwe man has the word Greedville labeled on his suit coat's tail. The other is labeled as Jealousy. The written article in the 1899 Cass Lake Times front page is titled, quote, "Still a hope that we will not be removed. The law is on our side," end quote. Such was a settler's truth being told. The article then talks about all the people trying to own into the land of the Cass Lake Ojibwe that the illegal squatters had settled on. Those entities laying claim to Ojibwe land included the federal government, the state of Minnesota, George Leidick, and last but not least, A.A. White of St. Paul, the great town site boomer along the Great Northern Railroad, along with the Great Northern Railroad that had come along and claimed Fair Cass Lake under and by virtue of government scrip filed at the St. Cloud Land Office. The newspaper article writes about the law and the rights of the 500 settlers who would be unfairly dispossessed if they had to leave the Ojibwe land that they had settled on. The Cass Lake Times reported on an excerpt from the St. Paul Dispatch concerning this issue. According to the excerpt, quote, "If a vote of the Indians could be taken, there is no doubt but that it would be overwhelmingly in favor of allowing the settlers to remain in the town," end quote. Well, except for some Indians, claimed the St. Paul Dispatch. And these Indians opposed the settlers remaining in town because of their hunting and fishing rights. My goodness, bring us right to 2016 and all the work we've done with our civil regulatory rights on our Leech Lake Nation to regulate hunting and fishing, yes. But back then, in 1899, the St. Paul Dispatch also talked about the only man in Cass Lake, a settler, who was not satisfied with his location because he was a butcher. This butcher said that he couldn't buy beef and sell it as cheaply as the Indians, who sold moose, meat, venison, and wild fowl. Then there was a Major Schaffer who spent 10 years in fighting Indians and who was said to understand our disposition thoroughly. Major Schaffer had predicted that there was going to be trouble in the spring with the pillagers again. Of course, Major Schaffer was referring to the previous year in the 1898 Battle of Sugar Point, in which the Ojibwe pillagers fought U.S. soldiers in the last official war between Indians and the U.S. government. And so I'll continue talking about this 1899 article in the next show, and also about some more current Cass Lake Times articles. Mi gwech bisan dawieg. Mi gwech to all of you for listening. Meet you.